It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. One decade ago, then-President Barack Obama called on community leaders to join together and commit to improving life outcomes for boys and young men of color.
The initiative was called My Brother's Keeper. In the last 10 years, it's grown to a network of more than 100 organizations around the country, including Milwaukee.
But Milwaukee's efforts to improve outcomes for black men and boys encountered roadblocks in the past.
Walter Lanier is president and CEO of the African American Leadership Alliance Milwaukee, or ALEM, and his organization is working to revive the mission of My Brother's Keeper in the city. Walter, thanks for joining us today.
I am glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit about this My Brother's Keeper recognition for Milwaukee, what it means and what the goals are for this project?
Absolutely. It is both an older project and a newer project. Back when President Obama got into office, he launched My Brother's Keeper back in 2014-ish, right around that time. And then the city took on the charge of walking through and being a My Brother's Keeper city. There was a plan that came out of the city that was fairly strong and robust. And a good group of diverse people gathered together to make it happen. It ended up being, I would say, a little under-resourced, and they had staffing changes frequently. And so it almost launched, but never really quite took off. And then, so that's the older story. Then the newer story, a gentleman named MacArthur Antigua, who lives in Milwaukee, and he also was a deputy director with the Obama Foundation, reached back out to Milwaukee because we had a strong reputation in the My Brother's Keeper world and also the Campaign for Black Male Achievement world. We were a city on the watch, a city on the move, and wanted us to jumpstart My Brother's Keeper. And so that's when we were charged and tasked to be the backbone organization for My Brother's Keeper and to get our region certified, which, as we said earlier, happened some months later. We were either the first or second city and the first combination of county city. So two things, the data part. First is to get certified. So that means we've gone through a rigorous process, identified teams, identified access, identified potential collaborations and partners on the journey. And we're certified with about 40 other cities and regions in the nation. The next step, which is a bigger lift, is to become a model city. And to become a model city, that means that we move population level data, big impact. And right now in the U.S., there are four model cities, Tulsa, Yonkers, Newark. I always forget the fourth one, but two of those cities have moved population level data on homicide rates. And two of those cities have moved population level data on education goals. And so our goal is to move metrics and to become a model city by working collaboratively to move population level data.
And I wanted to ask about some of the challenges you're looking to tackle with this ongoing project. When you look at numbers, things like educational outcome, health disparities and more, Wisconsin, by a lot of the numbers, not a great place for black boys and black men. Same true in Milwaukee specifically. What do you see as the biggest challenges, the biggest needles you're hoping to move here?
Great question. And a couple things I'll say. At ALEM, have commissioned an index of African American well-being that was created and put together by Dr. Mark Levine, UWM Center for Economic Development. The first one came out in 2020. The next one will be coming out soon. He used 30 different data points to evaluate African American well-being against 50 different cities. Hispanic Collaborative of Greater Milwaukee has a similar index as well. Unfortunately, we were at the bottom 50 out of 50. So painfully, the worst place to be black in America. So that's real. That's a rough data point. It has not shifted. So that's bullet point number one. Bullet point number two, there are a few things that Dr. Levine, when he compared to other cities, said would make a significant difference. One is to grow and elevate black leaders. And that is something that ALEM has been doing for 15 years. So that's a significant lever. And the second significant lever that he mentioned is improving educational outcomes. And so we have a particular focus on educational outcomes. We're also looking at employability and violence reduction. But the first one that we're hoping to move on is educational outcomes. decreasing dropout rates, increasing graduation rates are great starts in that area. And also a nice thing about that is the original city plan had some great metrics around education.
Let's zoom in there then on education for that, say, middle school or high school student. What kind of things might you be doing to reach out to them and help them stay in school, have that successful graduation outcome?
So you're going to hear me name a lot of names because we have a lot of partners and collaborators. And I will say in the model cities, that was their distinctive of the ability and history of working together for a long time together is what allowed them to make moves. So, for example, Yonkers, their graduation rate for students of color in the K-12 city system is 91%. Newark, New Jersey closed their homicide rate by 55%, all in particular because they work together across cultures, also across silos and across bureaucracies. So here in Milwaukee, we work with our data partners, Marquette University's Center for Urban Research, Teaching and Outreach, and they've been gathering data on programming for boys and men of color for some years with some funding that came out of the City of Milwaukee, a Black Male Achievement Advisory Council. And so when we talk about closing gaps in education, that's improving graduation rates and also decreasing dropout rates in high school. And then, of course, matriculation rates and graduation rates in college. We have some great skeletons in place in the city. One of the best, I say skeleton because it needs to be animated more, is M-Cubed. M-Cubed is a maybe 6 years old. It is UWM, MATC, and Milwaukee Public Schools, and they've pulled together to try to improve educational outcomes coming out of that ecosystem. I call it an ecosystem because the largest number of students that graduate from MPS that go on to college either go to MATC first, second highest is UWM, so there's a natural flow there. Well, one of the things that we're encouraging in that particular initiative is that there be more attention being paid to some equity goals and also to student voice so that that pre-existing system of opportunity for boys and men of color is more visible, more transparent, more accessible, more palatable, you know, so people see it as a legitimate, substantive, robust, doable pathway. And we believe that that will decrease dropout rates, increase graduation rates, and make that system more effective for boys and men of color.
And Walter, talking about partnership is really interesting. I've been talking to people in Milwaukee and other communities for years, and I hear the same story again and again. We've got great people doing great programs. They're really devoted. Their individual thing is fantastic, and they're all alone, right? They're not combining their efforts. They're not working together. If I'm reading you right, this is part of your vision, your goal is to say, let's take all these great threads and weave them together.
Yeah, if you know, and you don't, but if you knew me and you get to know me, you know, my hashtag is always build community. And my metaphor is basketball. My father is a former NBA Hall of Famer, Bob Lanier,
who passed away in
2022. Yeah. And so basketball, you learn all about how to play together effectively and to maximize everybody's gifts and talents. In Milwaukee, because we've been so segregated and siloed, not just across race, but also across industries, we need to grow in our culture of working together, not only because it's the right thing to do, but there are actually synergies to be captured that we miss out on. There are innovations and bright ideas to be captured when we work together effectively. However, our history is that we have these segregated and siloed habits. And myself and Bevan Christie, who's been the coordinator for our MBK efforts, were on these community of practice calls. And we keep saying, well, what does Newark have that Milwaukee doesn't have? What does Yonkers have that Milwaukee doesn't have? And it's really, for the most part, nothing. But they have a longer history of working together, and that makes a difference. I'll give a quick example. Mm-hmm. In Newark, here in Milwaukee, when we talked about violence reduction, there were some tensions between the police department and what was then called the Office of Violence Prevention. They were bumping heads, some finger pointing, et cetera. Conversely, in Newark, New Jersey, the police department actually took a piece of their budget and gave it to the Office of Violence Prevention in Newark in order to work together towards a common goal. And we need more of that. And that is the difference.
Walter Lanier is with us from the African American Leadership Alliance in Milwaukee. We're talking to him about My Brother's Keeper Milwaukee. It's an effort to tackle opportunity gaps, improve life outcomes for young men and boys of color in Milwaukee. Walter, one of the reasons we reached out to you, we'd heard a while back from a listener who's involved in a mentorship program. I think it was called Boys to Men. That's now part of this My Brother's Keeper wider effort. Can you talk about the role of mentorship in tackling all these different goals you have, for especially for young black men?
Mentorship is huge for a lot of reasons, symbolically and substantively. When I say symbolically, you know, if you get an opportunity to see somebody do something you haven't done before and you want to do it, then it gives you a better idea of that it's possible. So that's a very low level. I was at a meeting a couple weeks ago, and a younger attorney, younger than me, Jason Allen, who's a partner now at Foley and Lardner, he reminded me of when I met him maybe 30 years ago when he was in law school, and I was a young lawyer at Michael Best, then Michael Best and Friedrich. And he said when he interviewed with me, I was one of the first times he's seen a black attorney in a large law firm, and that gave him some insight and belief as to what he could be. I hadn't thought about myself as fulfilling that role and function for him, but I did. So that's kind of what I call the symbolic, or the presence, the dynamic of others who've done what you want to do. And then second, here in Milwaukee, with all the challenges we have, navigating systems, navigating organizational cultures, navigating self and learning how to move forward and accomplish goals. It's tough to do it on our own. It's different if there's somebody that's been there before us who can pass on some words of wisdom, some instruction, some direction, some correction. And so we know the data tells us that mentorship is very, very important. I'm appreciative of the program you mentioned, Boys to Men. I also mentor Greater Milwaukee with my good friend, Lidonel Ramey, former director of the Milwaukee Public Schools Black and Latino Male Achievement Department. And so I know, and I certainly know young men of color and young African-American men in particular, when we have mentors, when we have people in front of us who we can aspire to be, it makes a big difference.
One of the My Brother's Keeper priorities is, I'm going to quote here, protect the physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual wellness of boys and men of color.
Yes.
Can you talk us through kind of on the ground level? It's kind of a wide mission there. What kind of things can help accomplish that?
That's very robust. We have a narrative change project that we're working on to change the narrative around Black life and leadership in Milwaukee. And one of the burdens of being Black in Milwaukee is that sometimes we fall prey to being a stereotype. And you can feel the weight of that. If you leave Milwaukee, if we go to other cities, for example, people will ask, well, are there any Black people in Milwaukee at all? Or they will look at only negative statistics. And so there's a truth about being a Black male, Hispanic as well, that often in cities that have not celebrated diversity, you are Black or brown male, you will be viewed as a negative statistic. And that's just a weight and a burden that is carried. And so I lift that one up first, because it's easy to point to principles of grit and resilience, and those are equally important. But we also have to give it context. We have to recognize we're in a city, in a place that has not had a great relationship with boys and men of color, notwithstanding that we're fortunate now to have two young millennials as our mayor and county executive. So that's about, you know, looking at the system and being aware of the system, one. And then two, there is, how do you navigate stress? How do you navigate pressure? If you happen to be in a environment that's unhealthy, how do you navigate that? And that's, now I'm stereotyping a little bit, but stereotypically for men, you know, we're raised not to cry, to be tough, not to complain, not to be concerned, not to show weakness. And those are good for survival, but they're not good for thriving, because to thrive, I need to be able to talk about my full range of emotions. and get access to resources to support my mental health and well-being.
Walter, I think it's easy for someone to see a problem in their community and think, I hope somebody fixes that. What led you personally to say, ask yourself, I guess, what can I do to be part of the solution?
Yeah, you know, it's part of who I am. It's part of who I've got from my parents. My father always, even more so than basketball, he always talked to me about making a difference, making an impact. Who did you touch today? What impact did you have today? My mother was the same, is the same person and personality. She's still with us, one of the founders of Legacy Bank. And so when I left for law school in 1992 in University of Michigan and graduated in 95, I chose to come back to Milwaukee, one, because we had two young kids and I wanted to be around parents, but also because I wanted to serve and I wanted to make a difference and have an impact. It's just a part of who I am. And, you know, what better place to have an impact than in Milwaukee, where I knew the statistical challenges way back then in 1995. And so it just is fundamentally a part of who I am. My goal, my vision, my belief, my plan is to do as much as I can to make a difference in this city, both individually, but also systemically, so people can be liberated and have the best life that they can have. Everybody deserves it.
Do you feel hopeful? Do you feel like you've got momentum here and things are going to improve significantly for Milwaukee?
I do. And it's not a naive hope. It is. I believe in the power of the collective. And I believe our collective has been undervalued and under-resourced. And I mean that in a very abstract way. And so I know from a team perspective, an organizational culture perspective, as teams work together, as talents work together, they start to make 1 + 1 = 3 and 1 + 1 = 4. Those are synergies and innovation, and that's understated for our city right now. A segregated city, in my view, I've thought this for a while, cannot help but have a level of mediocrity in it because they don't know what excellence looks like. They don't know what it looks like to thrive together. So that's our condition. The flip side of that condition does not require a massive infusion of resources, although we take all we can get, but rather it requires intentionality and perseverance. The talent is here. If you look out into our communities cross-culturally and you try to identify a talent or a skill, you will not find many that we don't have. We have a diversity of talents and skills and gifts and abilities here in our city. And as they work together more effectively, I think we'll be very dynamic. We got to rise above the petty. Have to rise above traditional divisions that are not fruitful and often not substantive. I think they're usually a lack of relationship. Even the left, right, or the red, blue political divides. If we want to be excellent, we will only be able to do it together. And I think there's a willpower to make that happen. I just think we need to do it more effectively.
Walter, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yes, awesome. Glad to be here.
Walter Lanier is president and CEO of the African American Leadership Alliance Milwaukee. We talked with him about My Brother's Keeper, an effort to address opportunity gaps and improve life outcomes for young men and boys of color in Milwaukee.